You know, it's interesting. I've only been back from the Keys for now, maybe 10 days. But it seems like 5 years ago. I don't know about you, but was this last week the longest week you've been in a long time? I mean, I was exhausted. It's almost like I need a nap every second. It's just, I don't know what was going on. I don't know, you know, in some senses, I thought to myself in years past, you know, when a hurricane would be coming at me, to tell you the truth, I used to love those things, you know? I mean, it was like, it was exciting. It was, threw everything off base. It took, you know, where you actually, what I used to always say is, I had an excuse for anything if a hurricane came. But now it's nothing but this one long, exhausting experience. And the truth of the matter is, I don't know about you, but at my house, power never went out. I mean, it wasn't so much that the storm did much of anything to me personally, but it was all the stuff that was around it of what could be rather than what was that was exhausting me. I say that because today I'm going to take some license with the Old Testament scripture, and I'm also going to challenge you to look at some things in your own life in a different way. And the one thing I'm going to ask you to look at differently in your own way is that idea that you might have in yourself that I'm getting old. I'm getting older. Now, I none of you are as old as I am because I'm the oldest one here probably. But I'm going to ask you to take a look at, in a sense, how you're responding to where you are in your life, perhaps even in the aging process. You know, the Old Testament lesson we have for today is interesting. It's where the word, it says, came to Jeremiah from the Lord. And he says, come, go down to the potter's house, and there I will let you hear my words. So I went to the potter's house, and there he was working at his wheel. The vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hands, and he reworked it into another vessel as seemed good to him. Now, the license I'm taking with this scripture is that actually directly after the words I just read to you, it explains that when he's talking about the vessel, he's talking about actually the nation of Israel and how he's going to rework the nation of Israel. But where I'm taking license is saying this. The nation of Israel was made up of people, individual people. And you can't change anything unless individuals change. And so I'm making the scripture much more personal than I am much more corporate. I mean, if you don't believe me, think about it. In your own family, if you don't change, nothing else in your family is going to change. In a community, if you don't change, then good chance the rest of the community won't change. That all of us have to be part of a transformational process. All of us have to be involved in change. And you know the old saying that's not in the scripture but really should be in the scripture, the only person you can change is yourself. And I think that this scripture really applies to change within ourselves. The scriptures tell us that the word came to Jeremiah by the Lord, and he said, go down to the potter's house. The first thing it tells you is this, is that sometimes to hear God, you have to change your outside circumstances. That if you've been trying to hear the Lord over and over and again in the same place and you aren't hearing him, then what? Change up the environment. Go look at it from a different perspective. Go get in a different place. But open yourself up in a different way than you've ever done before. And maybe you need to look at him as though you're going to be told more in analogy a lesson than direct straight words of concrete that you can evaluate. That sometimes God talks to us in the world about us. Sometimes God talks to us through a simile. Sometimes he talks to us through that analogy of something going on somewhere else, but that relates to giving us a lesson. Well, the lesson that Jeremiah was told was to go down and look at the potter. And here's the potter. He's at the wheel. And he's got a piece of clay in his hands, a vessel, it says, that has spoiled. The actual word spoiled, I don't think is the best translation for this Hebrew word. I would say the best translation for this word would be marred. And the word marred, really basically what it means is that somehow it's become inferior both in image and in function. In other words, it just doesn't work the way it was supposed to work. You know, I don't know about you, but the older I get, the more I think, I'm just not working the way I'm supposed to work. You know, believe it or not, Chuck, I'll be up front with you. I got hairs that grow every place than where I want them to grow. I know none of you are like that. I've got things that used to work really well, you know? I mean, things that are private, that good thing my wife's not here because she'd be upset with me that I'm talking about it. Where, you know, I could wait for days to go to the bathroom. Now it seems like I live in the bathroom. There are things within me in the way that I think, in the way that I remember, in the way that I process thought, where I know that name, but by God, it's just not coming to me. And I wonder, as I look at those things in me, if I'm looking at them as though I'm just getting older, which may be true, that those functions within me may be slowing down. But then again, even though that's true, that the things in my body are slowing down and not working the way they once did, could that be God's hand working within me, molding and shaping me into the next part of my life? In other words, it's not just the aging process, but rather that it's somehow that God, in his providence, in his wisdom, is saying, I am molding and shaping you. You know, none of us here at all would argue that God molds and shapes young people, would we? That God puts his hand through experiences of life, through other people in their life, to influence other people to become what they're called to be. Well, what makes us think that just because we came to a certain age, that all stops? You know, the truth of the matter is God's always working. We're always in the potter's hand. We're always moving along. But for some reason, we get this idea that somehow we've arrived, that it's that part of life is all over, that it was better yesterday than it's ever going to be today, and that, in a sense, I can't do it anymore. And what I'm saying is that this scripture, I believe, says that God's hand is at work in your life. You may call it aging, but I'm asking you to call it molding and shaping. Because the molding and shaping then means that you can participate with the process that's going on. And that somehow you can, in a sense, let go of the destination. You never arrive, it's always a journey. You can let go of saying, it was better yesterday, and say, let's see what we can make today. I'm going to let go saying, I can't do that anymore. Because you can still do it, you just might not do it the same way. See, I believe without a shadow of a doubt that God's at work in my life. I have no question. That every day when I wake up and I meet him, and sometimes I listen to him more clearly than other times, but I believe that somehow God has his hands on me and he's saying, you know what, here's a life experience I don't want you to get down and freaked out about, but I want you to learn from this lesson. That somehow in the midst of it, it's not where I just say, oh, Hurricane Dorian, thank God it stayed off the coast. It didn't even come in within 30 miles like Matthew did. It stayed out 82 miles out there. Oh, thank goodness I passed the bullet. But rather to where all of a sudden I learn a lesson that says somehow in the midst of God spared me so I could do something else for somebody else. That I can go and make a difference in somebody else's life and in the process become more of what I'm called to be. That I may not, at nearly 70 years old, have the energy I once had. So I can't be out there banging nails and climbing up on things, but I can sure as heck get people together and get things together and get encouragement and move things along. That I can make a difference in the world. It's not that I can't, it's because I can. It's not because it was yesterday, it's because it's today. It's not that I've arrived, because to tell you the truth, the journey hasn't even brought me to where I'm supposed to be yet. And the journey always continues. I tried to think of an analogy because, after all, that's how God spoke to Jeremiah in this scripture. And the only analogy I could think of that I thought really fit was an old children's story. One that, to be honest with you, I never even heard of until I had committed my life to Christ. But it's one that maybe you've read to your grandchildren or your children that's been around for a long time. It's by Shel Silverstein. It's the book, The Giving Tree. And in the book, The Giving Tree, which, by the way, my understanding of that was when he actually wrote that, The Giving Tree, it was his attempt to explain his view of God. I'm not going into that at this point. But I am saying that I think this illustrates the point that I really believe is about you and about me, that God's hand is upon us. Let me recap that story. Story of a relationship between a boy and a tree. And the tree loved the boy. And the boy would come every day, and he'd play in the leaves, and he'd climb on the branches. And when he'd get tired, he'd sort of lean against the trunk and take a nap. And the tree's happy. And the boy played with him. Did that for years. Finally, after quite a few years, the boy stopped coming so often. And finally, the boy showed up one time and looked at the tree, and you know, he said to the tree, he said, you know, the tree says to him, you know, why don't you play with me? And the boy says, no, I don't want to play. I want money. And so the tree says, well, take my apples and go sell them, and you'll have money. So the boy takes the apples, and he, you know, goes and gets money. He doesn't come back for a while, and finally, again, takes a little time, and what does he do? He comes back to the tree, and the tree says, you want to play today? And the little boy says, no, I don't want to play. He goes, what I need is a house. And so the tree says, you know what? Cut off my branches and make yourself a house. Cut off my branches and make yourself a house. And the boy cuts off the branches and makes himself a house. Again, he doesn't show up for a while. After a little bit of time, again, the boy shows up and the tree says, I don't really have a whole lot to let you play with. Well, you took my branches, you know? And so he said, but what's going on? And the boy says, I need to get away from all this. I want a boat to get away. And the tree says to him, cut down my trunk and make a boat and sail away. He says the tree's not real happy about that. After he sails away for a while, finally he comes back. And he's an old man. And he's an old, old man. And the tree, when he sees the boy coming up, looks at the boy and he says to the boy, he says, you know, I don't really have much else to give you. And the boy looks at him, who's an old man, and says, well, I don't really need a whole lot. I'm old. I just want to sit down. And the tree looks at him and says, well, sit on my stump. And the tree was happy because he loved the boy. Now, what makes you think that we weren't all trees at one point? Now, I might not be a stump yet, although I have been called stumpy in my life. But I don't have all my apples. And I don't have all my branches. Some of them have been replaced with titanium. And sometimes I wonder even about the trunk that I have. But I can be useful. I can make a difference. And that God, I believe, works in each and every one of us as what we call maybe the aging experience. God is not just making us age. He's molding us and shaping us so that we become more of what we're called to be in that process. It's not a process that's out to get you. It's not a process that's trying to cut you down. It's a process that makes you look at yourself in a deeper and more genuine way than you've ever done before. Because as you go old and you look in the mirror, because to be honest with you, you know, every time I look in the mirror in the morning, I look and say, who's the old guy? Because I don't look at myself that way, do you? But I know I can make a difference, and I know you can make a difference. But until I get away from the sense of arrival, until I get away from the sense of I can't, until I get away from that sense of it was better yesterday, I'm never going to be able to do what I'm called to do today. God is molding and shaping you in the same way as he did when you were young. But you got to change that paradigm in your head to say, wait a second, God really is preparing me for something. That it's not all over and I just sort of do what I want to do, but rather, there is no retirement in the Christian faith. It's where you're molded and shaped to do more of what you can do than you've ever done before, but you're doing it in a different way, and maybe you do different things than you've ever done before. I hope your journey leads you to the Holy Eucharist today. I hope your journey isn't where that's the destination, but it's through Eucharist that you come, where you're fed by the body and blood of our Son, Jesus, the Lord's Son, Jesus Christ, that we come together and that we are held up in that sense of saying, God's hand really is at work within me now. And he will lead me to the place of joy. He will lead me through the fears that I have. He will lead me to become what I'm called to be. Because then our families will change. Then our communities will change. Then we will become a people who really do make God smile. And the potter and the clay will be one. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.
Amen.